Morning, everyone. This morning we got going to be reporting back on trip to Thailand. And before we get to the exciting bit, which is all the stories and things, just thought we'd show you where Thailand was in relation to everything. So we've got a map there showing India to the left. You've got China over on the right. You can see the town, what's it, Gahoizu or something.
Guangzhou.
I actually went there on business just before I finished at Avon. So it's interesting. So Thailand's there in the middle. And this works. Yeah, it's going closer in. And so we landed in Chiang Mai, which is sort of up near Lampang on that map. And we then travelled north to Phang, which is just below Chiang Rai. So we landed on the Wednesday morning in Chiang Mai. Wednesday afternoon we travelled up to Phang. And then first morning we're visiting a school. We knew it was the last day of the school year. We had to be in that day because they finished. We thought we were just going to be looking around. We arrived a little bit late. Hasten to add, it wasn't mine and Andy's fault. And we found all the pupils lined up outside in the sun, the teachers out in the sun, which is very unusual for Thai people. They try and stay out of the sun as much as possible. And as we walked through the gates, we had buttonholes pinned to our shirts. And we walk into the main hall, and we get clapped in by the pupils, honoured guests. And it turns out we're there for a graduation. The reception kids, so that's the six-year-olds, were graduating. They were all in mortarboards and gowns. It's a bit like my university graduation. And then the year six kids, so that's sort of 12-year-olds, who are actually leaving the school because this is primary school, were there in their smartest school uniform. And so the graduation started. They had a monk from the local Buddhist temple who did his bit. He looked like he'd graduated the year before. He was so young, but... something like that. And then the headmaster got up and he congratulated the pupils on graduating and doing well. And then he was encouraging the year six pupils to continue their education. He was saying to the parents who were there as well, it used to be okay just to get a primary education, but you need to carry on through secondary education. Their job prospects are a lot better. The Lahu tribe, which was where most of those kids came from, the parents still have the choice. Do we send our kids to school for better prospects, or do we send them out to work to put food on the table? And so he was really encouraging them, and he was saying to the parents, if they finish their education, they will get a better job, and they will be in a better place to look after you in your old age. And so the headmaster had G'd that up. And it's different in Thailand. If you don't have kids to look after you in old age, you do struggle. So anyway, he finished his bit, and a couple other people spoke, and then the kids all went up and got their certificates, lots of bowing and everything. And then suddenly they were rearranging all the chairs in a huge circle around the edge of the hall. And the adults were sitting around on the chairs, and the teachers were running around with these sticks with little bits of string tied on them. And wondering what was going on. And David Summers, who heads up Hands, quickly came down to us and he said, right, what happens now is that they tie a piece of string on the wrist of the children as they go round. And it's to wish them all the best for the future and peace and happiness and all of that kind of stuff. But when they come to you, you can be praying for them. And so we had the honour, the privilege to be praying for each child. We actually prayed for every child twice because they came around. They had strings all the way up their arm. And apparently they leave them on until they drop off. So fortunately we were tying them loose enough not to cut the circulation off. And Andy was saying afterwards that he'd had a couple of pictures as he was praying, so he was able to pray into that. And I was just praying that they'd know the peace of God, they'd know the love of Jesus, that God would bless them in their future life. But for me, that encapsulated everything that I'd heard about Hans. Here they'd been working into this school, previous month, they put a volunteer from the UK, been in there teaching English to the pupils. They've had a number of teams go into this school. And because they'd shown the love of Jesus, because they'd served with no strings attached, suddenly we turned up on the right day and we had the opportunity to pray for these kids. And who knows what God will do with that. That's the whole thing with their schools work. We went into another school, another graduation, all the same sort of things happened. This school hands have been working with a lot longer, probably 10, 15 years. And when they first went into the school, there were about 120 pupils there. The pupils are mainly from the Shan tribe. The Shan tribe people mostly live in Myanmar, in Burma. And many of the ones that are in Thailand are actually refugees, because the Shan are actually fighting for their independence from Burma, from Myanmar. And so the Liberation Army, as soon as you're 18, they want you to join the army to fight for freedom. And there are stories that they're actually taking child soldiers on as well. And so many parents are fleeing the Shan areas in Myanmar, cross the border into Thailand. They arrive in Thailand, they have no papers, they have no documents, and they try to get by and live, and the kids end up going to school. They don't speak the language. All schools work in Central Thai. The Shan have their own language, so the kids arrive not speaking the language they've been taught in. So you've got all of those issues. So there was this school. The teachers were demoralized. They just saw it as a dead-end job that they did for a couple of years before they moved on to something better. And 10, 15 years ago, Hans had a team coming out, and as they always do, they looked at the skill base in the team, and they said, we've got a lot of teachers. What could we do something in one of the schools? And they fought and they prayed about it, and they felt it right to ask this school if they could work into it. And something happened during that week. It was a simple arts and craft and drama workshop. They used a lot of Bible stories. They all spoke English. The kids spoke Shan and Thai. But something happened during that week. God stepped in and transformed things. The teachers saw that the pupils wanted to learn and they could be switched on to doing it. And one teacher in particular who we actually met, she's coming up to retirement, she really was motivated by that and has continued to work in that school and continued to do some amazing things. And we were there, there are now 500 pupils there, we were there for the graduation. It was obvious there was a buzz about the place. The kids had a real affection for the staff had an affection for the kids, and it was really exciting to see the change that had happened. Move on to the next one. And so we were being shown around the school, went into the library, and they started putting these books on the desk. And when I looked at them, I thought, well, they're nice library books. And it turned out that the pupils have actually made those books. They choose the themes, so they do stuff on healthy eating and why I should work hard at school and family life and just ordinary stories as well. They write the stories, they illustrate them, they colour them in, and then they get put together into a book. And then the kids read them to the younger kids and they take them home and read them to their parents. And obviously they read the ones their friends have made and all that kind of thing. And in this last year, the school went to a national Thai competition, and a group of 10 kids from this school had 6 hours from picking the theme out of a hat to producing a finished book. Had 6 hours. They won that competition. They are the best in Thailand. And so the change that's happened at the school, and over the years, Hans have put teams in there who have done things. They just recently... David and Carol Summers, their son is a deputy head at a secondary school in Droitwich, I think it is. And so he took out a team of teachers and a load of 16, 17-year-old UK school children as a team to work in this school. And the kids were actually talking to David and Carol and saying, we really enjoyed the last team that came in because there were lots of young people we could play football with and things like this. And apparently one of the teachers that went out was a science teacher. So he pulled out all his WOW the primary school with my science experiments. So they were making, they had a competition to see who could make the a self-propelled car go the furthest and all sorts of fun things. And the Thai teachers were out there taking photos of what was going on. And David and Carol said that over the next year, they will see some of the things that the UK teachers did, the Thai teachers using, because they think, oh, that's a good idea. I'll try that. I'll do that. Not that all the learning comes from the UK. They have plenty of good ideas their own. They do plenty of good stuff themselves. But so again, you know, hands have been serving the school. They've been showing the love of God. There's no strings attached. But God has really blessed it. And there has been a change. And the pupils coming through that school, those kids, have had a real change and have had a real opportunity and things. So that sort of covers... Oh, one other thing I should say about the schools. Well, there was one school they went into, and the water was such a poor quality that the pupils were getting ill when they drank it. And so they did the paperwork and got approval to take water from a nearby spring that produced good water. And they just happened to be 3 kilometres from the school. So they went out and bought 3 kilometres of plastic pipe and got the approvals to run it across all the land to this school. And so they piped in fresh water, which was sort of the one thing, well, one of the things the school needed, or one of the most immediate things the school needed. The sad thing about that is, a couple of years later, in their wisdom, Bangkok Education Department closed the school down. And for a while, Hans used the school building as another centre from which they were beginning to do things for the local community. And then the Thai army wanted to use it for their own operations and sort of pushed Hans out. And so sometimes it doesn't all work out, but the guys at Hans very much see themselves on a pioneering journey. And so they look for where God is working. They look to join in. They look to serve and show the love of God, and they see what happens, and they're getting some amazing results. So I talked about kids needing, growing up, getting good jobs so they look after their parents in their old age. Grandma D here, who is sort of hiding in the shadows at the back, got a better picture of her in a minute. Sadly, she has no family. So when Hans first met her, this house was falling down, only had half a roof on it. Inside, it was all covered in, the walls were covered in soot because she was cooking indoors. She was sleeping on a very thin mattress and really struggling with life. And so they got in some builders to fix the house. They built a toilet and a shower block on the back of it. They've built an outdoor kitchen, which is very common in Thailand, apparently, that... they cook outdoors so that the charcoal that they cook with doesn't, the smoke isn't in the house, and they keep the cooking smells out of the house as well. And I had a look around inside. She's got a nice bed now with a mosquito net over it. And Hans continue to help and to look after her. We talked to them about how they found these people, what they did, and that sort of thing. And so people get referred to them. They see some people. There was one couple they were telling us about, a Noi, who sort of heads up Hans in Thailand. He used to drive past this couple's house, and again, much like Grandma D's house, it was falling down and in a bad way. And so they went to the village headman where that couple lived and said, what is it about this couple? Is there anything we can do to help? How can we improve things? And the village headman said, well, it'd be really great if you could do something, because we really want to help her, but we don't know what to do and we don't have the resources and things. And so because Hans were able to put a bit of money into it, buy some building materials, it brought the village together and they rebuilt this couple's house. And we drove past it and it looked great, didn't it, Andy? And things. And again, Hans were being a catalyst to allow a community to come together and to look after this couple, and they've gone on to look after this couple. And so they hear about people, they have people refer to them, they talk to the neighbours, they talk to the village people, the heads of the village, to find out how they can help and ways that they can help. With Grandma D, they continue to look after her, so she's got a big plot of land in the UK. You'd sell it to a developer, they'd throw 3 houses on it and you'd sort your pension out, but it doesn't work like that in Thailand. And so 2/3 of it they've planted pineapple plants for her, and the hope is that she can she can eat some and she can sell some and it will supplement her income. When we arrived, the previous few months, she'd been very, very ill. Hans had actually come and prayed for her and got her some medical help. And there's another picture of her closer. She had a great delight in telling David Summers that when she went to see the doctor, he said, "Of course, you know, you might die from this." And she said, "Yeah, but I'm still alive now." so she was doing well. I don't think she knows her exact age. She's in her 70s or 80s. Right. I love this picture. This little, it's not really a village, but settlement, reminds me so much of my time in Brazil. I sent the picture to my parents and said, "Does it look familiar?" And they said, "Yeah, except for the satellite dish." which of course wasn't there. Didn't have things like that in my day when I was in Brazil. The house behind the satellite dish is Loncon's house. He is Shan. 18 years ago, he came over from Myanmar, and that's actually in an orange orchard, an orange grove. The owner of the orange plantation likes having him living there because it means that there's a presence there that sees if things are going on. Doesn't actually pay him anything for doing it, but allows him to settle and build his house. And so he's got his house, and his house to the right is his son's house, and then his daughter's also got a house just nearby. And then the building in the middle, right at the back under the tree there, that's a pigsty that, again, Hans have built for him. And they've also dug a borehole so that there's water on tap for the pigs and also for the family. And he's able to buy piglets and raise them to fully grown pigs and then sell them for meat. And so supplement his income, because he and his family, the only income they get is from labouring jobs within the orange groves, and they're paid by the day. If there's no work that day, they don't get any money, and it's not very regular. So they any extra they can earn is. And when we arrived, David, they've been visiting Loncon for years and helping him and being there. So David and Mark and Alexa arrived and were greeted like old friends and sat down and chatted to him. Andy and I were shown around and had a nose around and things. And again, with that, Loncon was living there in the orange grove. People came to Hans and said, "Look, there's this person really struggling. Is there anything you can do?" And so they've just been going there, showing the love of Jesus, serving, seeing the little things that they can do to help and improve things. And if you're in the Shan tribe and you live in Thailand and you want to find out about your relations in Myanmar, Loncon's your man. He had on his wall of his house, he had lists of mobile phone numbers, which was his phone book. And apparently you can contact him and he can get hold of people in Myanmar, and vice versa. If you live in Myanmar and you want to find out about relations who've come to Thailand, he's sort of point man for doing that. So I love this photo. We saw this right near the end of our trip. On the left is Noi. I mentioned Noi heads up Hans in Thailand. And I think many of you have heard the story, Noi, but he was regarded sort of as looked down by the rest of the village, looking like he was wasting his life. I think there were issues with alcohol and so on. And David Summers felt drawn to him, felt a prompting of the spirit that he should befriend this guy. So initially they offered him a job and started befriending him. And over time that relationship has developed. And they've seen Noi come to follow Jesus. And he's turned his life around and is now running a lot of what Hans does in Thailand and heading up things. And this is one of his initiatives. So guy on the right is Mahon. He's one of the one of the house parents at the centre. They're a hostel for 45 ACCA kids, and he actually has the ability to cut hair with clippers. He's trained to do that, or has taught himself, and he's taught the guy in the blue shirt who's cutting hair as well, who's one of the kids at the Hands Centre hostel. And so because they have this skill that they can cut hair, they cut the hair of all the kids and that sort of thing, they decided it would be great if they could go out into the community. So here they're actually in the grounds of a Buddhist temple, and they offer free haircuts to those who can't afford haircut. So other than the little lad who sat on his sister's lap having his hair cut, who screamed his head off the whole time we were there, wasn't enjoying it at all, everyone else having their hair cut seemed to be really pleased about it and really enjoyed it. And to me, that is everything like our On the Town and what we did in Woodlands and that sort of thing. They were, again, they have a skill, they have an ability, there's a need, they're looking to serve, to show the love of Jesus, to just be there and to do it for free because they can. So once a month they come out and do that sort of thing. Right, I think that covers some of the things we saw, and Andy's going to...
Okay, I've got this on, I don't need that now. You haven't really used this map over here, Dave, but I like maps, and so I'm going to just slightly refer to it. We can move this. Well, just to get... I always think it's useful to actually get an idea of where we are. This little bit of a bulge here was that tiny, tiny little right-angle bit of border that you saw up near Chiang Rai, so with Chiang Rai sort of being somewhere over there, actually. So we're really close to Burma. And, Fang, you know, literally it was, what was it? It was about half an hour's drive, or an hour's drive up to the border. So we're really, really, really close. And in fact, we're sort of closer to the border over here. And the school, the first school and the second school were over here. And, the first school and the second school, the graduations were there and there. So around Fang, this other school, which they actually closed, was here. And Namru actually means waterhole. And that's where they put the pipe in from one place. And then Long Kong, that one where Dave was just talking about the guy... he's over here, and I don't know what that was, a one-armed guy called Bang who was running that. We haven't talked about that. And then the centre they have is down here, so that sort of gives you an idea. This is Shan area over here where Dave is. Shan tribe sort of covers over the border, and Akka is up in this little, there's a little notch, if you like, of the border that goes up, and that's the Akka tribe area. And they get a bit of, and they've also got Lahu. Well, I don't quite know where they are, but they're in there somewhere around there. Yeah. Okay.
What's the UHDP?
The UHDP was the Upland Holistic Development Program, and it was also on the same site as something called ECHO, which is a seed bank, and they were all about helping farmers, doing research, helping farmers, upland farmers particularly, because Fang is in a bowl, and then there's all the hills around, and it's how to get the best out of your land, how to do the right sort of crops, complementary things. You know how we put marigolds with carrots or something to stop the flies? They do that sort of thing, but big time really with other stuff. And they did composting, and they also... what's the frogs thing? They had a little frogs hotel, which really wasn't... They had catfish, but they needed to feed the catfish with frogs. So they had these tyres which they grew... They'd had frogs born in a place, and then they put them in this little tyre hotel, which was multi-storey, very nice for the frogs. Then you pick them out and drop them in the fold from a cafe. It was that sort of stuff they were doing, and they did a lot. They also did this stuff about the pigs and trying to teach them how to deal with the pigs correctly, because they often do things in a way they've always done them, but it's not always the best way either for the animals or for themselves. So they'd often keep pigs on concrete, you know, in a concrete sty, and actually they're saying, look, you need to use deep litter, because then, you know, the litter actually absorbs the urine and the feces, and then you don't get flies so much, you know, and the animals, you know, can be more natural in their sty and stuff. And then, of course, you don't get flies, you haven't got so much disease for the pigs or for the humans, you know, and the whole thing sort of rolls on more naturally. So that's what that was. Okay. I wanted to take a slightly different tack about our trip, and I got to thinking about something from Numbers chapter 13, because I don't know if you know Numbers 13, but Moses actually they got the whole tribe of Israel, and they want to go into this land called Canaan, which eventually becomes Israel. And Moses comes up with this great idea of sending 12 guys out to go and explore the land. And I don't know if you know the story, but basically the 12 come back having had a good look at the land, and 2 are in favour of going in, and 10 are in favour of staying put, because they don't like it because they're a bit scared. But this first bit here is Moses' commands before they go, which was this. See what the land's like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kinds of towns do they live in? Are they fortified or not? How is the soil, fertile or poor? Are the trees in it? You know, and also make sure you bring us back some fruit so we can evaluate it. And I thought about this, and me and Dave went, and we're the two that came back. You know, sort of sort of like that. But really, we didn't go with that reason, because that's all about selfish reason, about the Israelites wanting to have a land which they could occupy, and they wanted to make sure that it was as good as possible for them. But Dave and I haven't been to Thailand to do that. We've been to Thailand to actually see if we can do something for other people. Okay, the people who are already there, and seeing if something of the kingdom of God is actually involved in this whole process. So it's a little bit different, but I just wanted to sort of... that's the rest of the story, which we won't bore you with now. The other thing is this, that I made some notes whilst I was away, because I'd made some sort of headings as to the sort of things I was trying to get out of the whole trip and what we were really trying to do. And when I came back, I had a look at the HAMS website again, and this just sort of hit me between the eyes, really, because it says, our mission is to serve the deprived and marginalised communities of Wiltshire, and particularly those living in the isolated areas of rural Wiltshire. No, sorry, you know. And I was just a bit blown away, really. Because this was one of the similarities, between Caring Hands, or Hands World, or whatever they call themselves, and Open Blue / Dayspring. Okay, and we've got a calling into our rural community, and you know, of Wiltshire. And in fact, what it really echoed for me was, because it even got that we work with displaced peoples, you know, and we do, because the travellers in Wiltshire are displaced. The actual ruling sort of councils and whatever of Wiltshire really don't like the travellers. They bear with them as best they possibly, well, not as best as they can, but they just bear with them in a grudging sort of way. And it's a sort of similar, really, I suppose, to the dictatorship in Thailand about refugees. They don't really want to deal with them, but they have to. And they, you know, sort of... So the similarities were quite huge, really. And I was quite impacted by that. Now, that was all the stuff. Then I also had a look at how, in Acts, the church actually operated with different things happening when it wasn't actually happening in its own area. Okay, so You've got a few little things sort of happening like that, one or two things that go on where something happens outside of, say, Jerusalem or whatever, and the guys have to come back and report back. And in Acts 11, Peter has to do this. He has to explain his actions to the church. So what's actually happened is that in Acts 9, there was this guy called Cornelius who'd seen a vision of God or an angel, and had been told to send for this guy Peter, and Peter had to go, and then the Holy Spirit got poured out on Cornelius and his whole family and all the other people. It was really quite interesting. But Peter has to go and explain to the church, because the church are a bit, what are you doing? And I just wondered whether... as I started to look at the story, and I thought to myself, how has Peter actually explained this story? And he did not say, Well, these guys turned up at my house. They were wearing red robes and, you know, they hadn't brought lunch with them, but we gave them lunch. In fact, it was fish and chips. And they stayed for a few hours. Then we had a few drinks. We chatted about the weather and stuff like that. And then the next day we went off. We took a few miles. We stopped at a cafe for coffee. And then we did. He didn't fill in all of those practical details. He went straight for what God was doing in the whole thing. So I thought I'd have a crack at doing that. Okay, so for me, from my point of view, because Dave's given you a good load of the practical stuff, which is just as important. I know it's, in fact, I've learnt a lot just listening to Dave today, because he picked up a lot more stuff than I did. here we go. So some of the things that happened for me in terms of whilst we were out there, we had conversations with David and Carol Summers, who are the older couple who really sort of started this whole thing. Then Mark and Alexa. Mark is David and Carol's son, and then also Rebecca, who's their daughter. And we would have a conversation. Oh, we also had, there was another guy from their church in Worcester and his son there as well. So we had conversations each evening and obviously during the day whilst we're going around. We couldn't converse all of the time with seeing stuff, but we did have good conversations in the evenings. And there were certain things that we talked about. Now, there was one particular project that Mark and Alexa talked about, where they got these fish ponds, and what they were doing, they got some sort of deal going where they got these little fish, and they put these little fish in their fish ponds, they grew them up to a certain size, and they had a market to sell them on. This is all going to go very well, and they got this whole project sort of running with other people involved, I think, and stuff. But then there were these floods, which flooded out the people who were actually taking the fish off them when they were grown up. And suddenly their market sort of collapsed, and they got all these fish. And sorry if I can't quite get all of the detail, but basically got these all of these little tiny fish, and they needed to sort of feed them but not let them grow too quick or something. So they needed some ducks for some reason. Now, I'm not really sure why they needed ducks. Okay, other than, yes, it was also to do, well, I wanted to avoid this, but if you're going to go down there, the ducks also poo into the pond, and then the fish can do something with that. That's the sort of the food, I think, and stuff. Anyway, they calculated they needed 25 ducks, but being Thailand, they couldn't buy 25 ducks, they could only buy 180. All right? So you can see where this is going, right? So I thought to myself as they're telling the story, well, they just didn't buy ducks then. Nope, they bought the ducks. And so they got 180 ducks. And, of course, you can see they probably, I think, I got the impression that they tried to farm out quite a few of the ducks to different places that they were involved in. And anyway, the whole thing sort of, you know, sort of didn't work, really, and it all sort of stopped. And there was a real sense of the fact that they tried this project, and it was in the air about nearly halfway through the thing, and Mark and Alexa saying, well, it was a complete failure, you know, we did this project. And I was thinking, crumbs, we're going to go back to Dayspring, and, you know, we're going to say about these projects, and yet these projects fail. And I was really trying to get over this. So I talked to David Summers about it, and he said, I don't look at it as failure, though. He said, we're on a journey. And I thought, this sounds familiar. we're on a journey, and we're working together, and we're working out stuff with people, and we're seeing how things happen. And I thought, well, I know what he's talking about. You know, we've talked about this for the last number of years, about how we're on a journey, how we work together, and that's it was another similarity for me, really, about how that was working. Now, that's enough of the similarities. Now, is Sue Sandberg in here now? Okay, good. Because the other week, before we went to Thailand, I don't know if some of you will remember, I got up to give a notice about the bus, but got sidetracked into telling you that I'd actually felt like I wanted to speak in tongues that morning, but I didn't think there was anybody there to interpret. And Sue suddenly stands up as I'm giving the notice, saying, I've got the interpretation, because I thought there was an interpretation this morning, so go for it, Andy. I'm like, what? So in the end, I sort of spoke in tongues, and Sue gave an interpretation. Well, I've got a picture. Here we are. This is relevant. I'm not going off. This is a Korean restaurant, and the whole of the Hands team was going out for a meal at this place. Now, to give you a bit of a balance, sounds fantastic. To give you a balance, David Summers didn't really like this. He said, "We'll make sure we get on a table," he said, "together. We'll maintain control." I said, "What?" He said, "It's a sort of a barbecue type thing. You have a one of these charcoal burners in the middle of a stone table. It fits in the hole in the middle of the stone table, and you cook your meat on the top. And then you cook your vegetables in the edge round the side of it. All fantastic," he said. "But the thing is that the Thai people here, even in our team, don't necessarily cook the meat as thoroughly as we'd like. So we'll make sure that we stay in control." And so that was the sort of, he'd already warned us, if you like. But the Hands team absolutely love eating like this. And they're all together, and you go up and you get your raw food and you bring it back to your table and you have a great time. Well, I didn't know all about that. We didn't really know. But we just arrived in the car park, and Mark and Alexa are a couple of minutes behind us, just get out of the car. And I suddenly feel like I want to speak in tongues. And so I didn't. not that good. Hadn't learned that quickly. But really, just actually, I spoke in tongues under my breath, really, and just sort of as we walked into this place, I was just speaking in tongues, thinking, "What on earth's going on?" Because there's just this feeling of welling up of the spirit. And anyway, I didn't say anything in that evening. Well, I did, to think whilst we were around the table, just going, you know, sort of a little bit like that, and. And then the following day, we had an we were in the car, and I told David Summers this, and he said, "Oh, well, we ought to, I said it'd be good to pray." And so when went there, we were on our way back, we got down to Chiang Mai into the hotel there. They came up to our room, not the whole team, just the family. I just spoke in tongues, really, and I really felt that, in fact, that God had sort of given me a little bit more, really. It was quite useful. Because I'd had a little bit of time to reflect, in a way, because none of them interpreted. I needed Sue Sandberg there, do you know what I mean? She won there. So, and I just felt God has got his soft touch on hands, caring hands. I just felt it was a soft touch of God. And that was all it was. But I'd also, because of this, I'd actually been having a little bit of a think. Think isn't the right word, really. A reflect, really. And I was trying to pray to see if God was saying anything else. And I got this image. I couldn't give that direct image to them. I had to describe it, but everybody knows it's the man with the umbrella, isn't it? and I said, "Look, I had this picture. Just had this picture of roadworks here. And I just thought, what about this, Lord, you know?" And then I had the scriptures that verse that comes up, "Make straight the path for God." You know, I think it's Matthew 3, verse 3. And he's quoting Isaiah 40, I think, or 42, something like that. And I just felt that God was saying to them, and I had the opportunity just over the meal that we had to just sort of say, "Look, I feel that God's saying that you are like a roadworks team." And we'd seen a lot of roadworks teams in Thailand because it was very dry, but obviously they have a massive amount of rain at certain times. So they were just building huge gullies at the side, both sides of the roads, remaking roads and all sorts of stuff. So I said, "Look, you're making straight the road for people to find a way to God. But it's out in the sun. It's hard, hot, dusty. It's chaotic. There's bits everywhere. You know what roadworks is like. The guys just leave the tools lying around. There's bits of material lying around. It doesn't look a nice, tidy workshop, does it? You know, on the side of a road, one of the workshops." And I said, "I think that's how it sort of feels." So I just shared that with them. And I've been thinking about it this morning. I've got to stop now, really. But I have been sort of thinking as I've been sort of whilst we've been worshipping this morning, I think I am stirred up in my spirit. I am not stirred up in my mind particularly. I am not stirred up in my body. My body keeps seeming to get more achy and achy every day I go on. But I am stirred up in my spirit. And I've been stirred up in my spirit, I think, since January, when the teams group actually... A number of them, who I wasn't quite sure they were going to go to Soul Survivor, said, "Yeah, we're going to go to Soul Survivor." And I was thinking, oh, wow, that's good. And then I think that something's happening here with Hans and with Open Blue and with Dayspring. Something's happening, and God is stirring my spirit. And I can only tell you, you know, Dave's given his report of what we've seen, and I'm telling you my report, which is what I'm feeling, really, and what I'm sensing. Okay? Now, the thing is, we're a whole church, and we've got to make it, you know, we've got to sort of decide, really. I feel like, at one point, whilst I was preparing, I felt like, you've got to get into this. You can be in or out. Okay, you can be in or out. And I was thinking about this. Yeah, but there's some people who don't like to jump. You see, I prefer to jump into cold water rather than get in slowly. Because you just get it over with, and then you get on with it, and it can half kill you, but you're okay. Now, I know that some people prefer to put their toe in slowly and get it slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly. Either way, it doesn't make any odds how you get in. But you've got to decide that you're going to get in. And I think that the thing is that we need to just sort of say, Lord, what are you saying to us here? Andy and Dave have said their bit, but what are you saying, Lord? And each of us have got that responsibility to say, am I in or am I out? At least if I'm in, I'm going to be actually saying, Lord, what are you doing here? I want to be involved in what you're doing, even if it doesn't actually add up with everything else that I like or that I'm into. Okay, so I wondered whether... I don't know if we've got the time now, really, but it would be really useful. I'm sure you've got questions about this. Not just you, but what sort of questions should we be asking about whether we get involved with Hans or not? I know we're going to have more opportunity for this thing, aren't we?
Two, three questions, just for 3 minutes.
Okay. So has anybody got any questions that they think we should be asking? And not the question that you necessarily want to ask, but what do you think we should be asking to sort of make sure that we're on the right sort of track? Because, you know, Dave and I could skew it, couldn't we? So, yes.
How does it tie up with Dayspring's other missionary or mission commitments or other outreach?
Yeah, how does it tie up? Yeah, that's a good question. Are you... I'll repeat that. How does it tie up with...
Your whole
our whole vision and our other mission sort of overseas and other mission work that we've got, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. Did you feel the same vision when it came to other projects like Open Blue and Cowboy? Was it the same kind of feeling?
Me? Well, it has to be...
Answer the question.
No, good. Thank you for that.
You can ask him afterwards.
Yes, you can ask him.
Get the answer,
yeah.
Just take one more, Andy, and then we'll get one.
Yep, anybody else?
What would involvement mean? I mean... Sorry.
Yes. Okay, what would involvement mean? And Michelle?
Well, it was just the people who have been to Thailand before you, do they have similar thoughts? Have they got something like
right, so what's their views as well? Yeah, okay. Right. Now, if you think of other questions, and because we're going to have an ongoing discussion about this, I guess, well, we are. So if you'd like to, you can text them to me, Dave, email, whatever you like, phone. Phone, you know, speak. Okay. I think that's the heat. Dave asked me a question, just whilst he's finishing off. Dave asked me a question on the video link about the heat, which I totally ignored, and I apologise for that, but I didn't actually hear it. But the heat was absolutely fine. I coped very well with 39 degrees centigrade.
Well, you weren't very brown, were you?
No, I did what the... Do you know what? I did what the Thais do, which is you walk in the shade all the time, yeah. Even if it's a longer journey. So that's
it. You look just plain stupid if you go in the sun in
the
country.
Let's
just...
I'll tell you in a minute.
Can we Lord, I want to thank you for these different perspectives as the guys have come. I want to thank you for the way in which there was the initial contact through Bev in South. Hampton and the way it's gone on and the way in which other people have already visited and the possibilities there. Father, we're very aware of the fact that things are shifting around us at the moment. You seem to be changing things, inviting us to get realigned with what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that this will not be something that happens just as leaders talk, but that you will release new kinds of leadership in Dayspring, new kinds of insight, so that loads of people are able to contribute to understanding and working out how all of this affects what you want us to do in support of your kingdom. Amen. Do carry on the conversation over lunch, guys.